Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Hundley with you here again on Relevant Radio as we are entering into the great weekend of Pentecost. As it's drawing the Easter season to a close, our Lord, who has promised to be with us always to the very end of the age, this weekend we are celebrating the gift of the Holy Spirit descending upon the disciples and upon us as we encounter the Holy Spirit and He gives us life. That's what we say every week in the Creed, right? The Lord, the giver of life. And we are grateful for life this beautiful spring day. And I am glad that you have joined us this morning as well. So a priest friend of mine likes to ask this quiz question. There are four birthdays represented in the church's general liturgical calendar, four birthdays that we celebrate. Can you name all four? All right, so I'm sure the first one that's popping to your mind is, of course, the Nativity of Our Lord, right? December 25th, Christmas, we've heard of that. I hope we celebrate that with gusto. You may be aware that we also celebrate the Nativity of Mary, Our Lady, of course, on September 8th, which, again, in the church's wisdom and just the way that she thinks through things makes a lot of sense, September 8th, because it's exactly 9 months after December 8th, the celebration, the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, of her Immaculate Conception. So that works, too. All right, so we've got Our Lord, we've got Our Lady. Who else do we have? Well, coming up, just this month, at the end of June, we've got the Nativity of John the Baptist, June the 24th. So we celebrate his birthday as well. So that's three out of four. Did you get the other one? Well, I think you probably did if you listened to where we're heading this weekend. How about the birthday of the church, which is given to us in the holy season, the holy day of Pentecost? Now, okay, I want to go on record as saying that it may be that the birthday of the church is indeed Pentecost, and I've heard it referred to numerous times as such. But I want to say, I want to put in just a word from my own perspective that if the church is born at Pentecost, then surely she was conceived on Good Friday when our Lord gave up his life and blood and water flowed from his side. He committed the Apostle John to his own mother. There is a lot of ecclesiological birth that's going on there, or conception at least. So we need to look to both as our birth as the church. But certainly the giving of the Holy Spirit is no less a birthday of the church as well. So Pentecost, what is Pentecost? That's what we're going to be focusing in the show today. And just to give us a little bit of background, a little bit of understanding about Pentecost and where it comes from, Pentecost itself derives from an ancient Greek name for a Jewish feast, actually. And I'm gonna just slaughter this, so I apologize to any of my Hebrew-speaking friends, but Shavuot, which is known as, in English, the Feast of Weeks, and it's the Greek term, as I said, which was Pentecost, which in ancient Greek, that was the name of this Jewish holiday. And this holiday specifically, it marks the wheat harvest in the land of Israel, and it commemorates, and I thought this was very interesting, it commemorates the anniversary of the day that God gave the Torah to the entire nation of Israel assembled on Mount Sinai. And that's really interesting to me because, okay, so here it is, God giving the law to his people, right? And the law, you know, even if we look and if we really understand what St. Paul in the New Testament is saying about the law, and of course Jesus, our Lord himself, said that not one of the smallest characters will disappear from the law. I've come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. The law itself at that time was God's gift to Israel, right? And the fulfillment of that law comes in the person of Jesus Christ and then our incorporation into Jesus through the power of the Spirit, which it just makes so much sense to me that the day of Pentecost, the giving of the law in the Old Testament, was the same day that we celebrate Jesus sending his Spirit, his pouring out his Spirit on all flesh, as the prophet Joel tells us, right? And then that's the day which we understand that the God gives nothing less than himself. to us in the person of the Holy Spirit, which is a mighty and incredible thing in our lives. And I think it's worthwhile just pausing for a moment, remembering what a significant gift that is, the gift of the Holy Spirit, because it is nothing less than the gift of God himself. Those of you who attended a Called and Gifted seminar that I've taught and heard me teach on the Holy Spirit, you'll know that I say that, you know, God will never be outdone in generosity, as you hear that a lot in our Catholic circles, I hope, and I hope you understand. So God is going to give us the very best thing that he can think of to give us, which is what? Which is himself, right? That's the very best thing that he can give us. Our loving Father loves us that much that he is going to give us himself. And we see that laid out for us in the crucifixion of Christ on our behalf, him giving himself. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. But we also see it in the giving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to us, gives us a share in that divine life and that divine grace, and incorporates us into the person of Jesus Christ so that we can look forward with confident hope to that day when we are in full union with him. And that, of course, my brothers and sisters, is what we call heaven, right? So let's just consider for a moment those pictures of Jesus giving us the Holy Spirit. First of all, as you may remember, in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, right, starting at verse 19, we see that on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, this is Resurrection Sunday, this is Easter Sunday, right? The doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. So do you understand that the disciples are in some ways cowering away? They're timid at this point. The doors are shut and locked. And Jesus himself comes and stands among them. Of course, you know, they're terrified. So what is the first thing he says? He says, "Peace be with you," which is quite amazing if you think about the last time that we saw the disciples, except for the beloved disciple, we see them fleeing from the persecution that was befalling Jesus, his punishment, his death, his condemnation, and his burial in the tomb. They're fleeing away from that. And his first words back to them are, "Peace be with you," right? When he had said this, John continues, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." And then he gives this very interesting command. "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And then what does he do? He breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," right? Jesus himself is breathing on them. Okay, now I'd like to, in your minds, go all the way back to Genesis 1, right? And think about the chaos that was there in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the Spirit hovered over the surface of the waters. So there that we know that the Spirit is there. Now, if we fast forward to Genesis 2 and the creation of Adam, right? Out of the mud, out of the clay, right? And then it's just a lifeless statue there until God breathes life into him. And of course, as I'm sure you've heard before, or if not, I have the privilege of telling you for the first time, the Hebrew word ruach can be translated as spirit or as breath or as wind. So it's the same. We can think of the Holy Spirit as the holy breath of God that breathes life into us. Same thing if you think about Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones. "Son of man, can these bones live? Lord, only you know." That they didn't live until God had Ezekiel prophesy to the winds, right? And the winds blew the breath of life, the breath of God into them, and they came alive. God is breathing his very life within us. And that's what he gives to the disciples when he breathes new life within them. Now, remember, though, he gave them this command. So there's both a right and a duty when we receive the Holy Spirit. There's a right to be partakers of the divine life, but there's also a duty to go out, to be sent out, to bring that life to others, to be living in the Lord in such a way that we too give up our lives for the salvation of the world. And we see that as well in the more familiar, perhaps, account that we will hear on Sunday of the act from the Acts of the Apostles, right? Of the Holy Spirit descending as in tongues of fire on the disciples. Because remember, first of all, they had asked Jesus in Acts 1, "Is this the time They're asking the resurrected Jesus, is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus, in his great fashion of not necessarily answering the question directly, says, it's not for you to know the times and places set by my Father. But, and I love that pause, but you will be my witnesses, right? You will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you in power in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and indeed to the ends of the earth. And brothers and sisters, this is exactly the same thing that's given to us in the sacrament of confirmation. If you haven't been confirmed, please, please, please seek out the sacrament of confirmation, because in the sacrament of confirmation, we all experience our own personal Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is sealed within us. And if we have been confirmed, that sharing, that right to be sharing in the divine life of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that command to go and bring life to the nations, is the same. We are to be out there as witnesses to the divine life that is given to us in and through the work of the Holy Spirit. And all of this, again, is wrapped into all of this. There's hints of this. Sometimes it's a little more explicit, sometimes a little less, but it's all in this great celebration of Pentecost. We are given the divine life of God so that we can bring that divine life to the world. I love the phrase that it's not so much that the church has a mission, but that the church is a mission, because we are continuing Jesus' own work on earth today through in and through the power of his Holy Spirit. So, all right, I guess I'll soften my initial statement a little bit and say that, yeah, actually, Pentecost is the birthday of the church makes a lot of sense to me. So happy birthday, church, and celebrate that birthday by bringing the divine life to others. So that's just a little bit on the background of what Pentecost actually is. Let's pause now before we turn to our guests who are joining me in studio. We have Sister Mary Ann Schenzer with us, and we also have Jessica Belzerini, who's going to be talking about, they're going to be talking about the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, and they're also going to be talking about Pentecost in their own lives and how the Holy Spirit is at work, and they've seen the Holy Spirit at work among them. So let's pause now as we begin the show and commit, as always, the show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so that's what's coming up for us as we talk more about the Holy Spirit and about Pentecost. We'll be right back with Sister Mary Ann Schenzer. Stay with us. Rediscover.
In the constantly changing world of technology, LCI in the Twin Cities offers an experienced staff and knowledge to service and maintain the current technology at your company. LCI also provides this message in support of Catholic ministries in our area.
The Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis is presenting a timely event for grandparents on Wednesday evening, June 14th. Learning Technology to Connect with Grandchildren Workshop. Your grandchildren use technology to communicate. Now you can keep in touch with them using the same tools. Learn how to use texting, FaceTime, Skype, and more. This will be a hands-on workshop to help you learn how to use technology to communicate with your family.
LCI supports local Catholic ministries, including Relevant Radio. Large and small business owners, find a cost-effective IT solution by calling LCI 763-425-7567 or lci-online.com.
Remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God.
Amen. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for us, because it is the sharing in that divine life that we were just talking about. I'd like to, to welcome to the studio Sister Marianne Schenzer, who's a school sister of Notre Dame. She's experienced the Catholic Charismatic Renewal since 1968. She was elected to the National Service Committee for Catholic Charismatic Renewal in the United States in 2002. And she currently serves as pastoral care director at St. Stephen's Catholic Church in Anoka. Sister, welcome to the program this morning.
Thank you.
It's great to have you with us. So tell us, sister, a little bit. Well, first of all, I want to know, what is a school sister of Notre Dame? I don't know what that is.
Okay. The school sisters of Notre Dame are an international community. We're in about 30 or 32 countries in the world. We're in the United States. We have two very large provinces in the United States. We've put some provinces together in recent years. Our main thrust has been to education, and we talk about education in its broadest terms now. And so even our sisters, who other people might consider retired, are still often involved in many volunteer ways and working with immigrants. That's very common in St. Paul here.
Yeah.
Or in working, helping older people in their homes,
mm-hmm.
or just many, many things that are happening. And then in some other countries, they're doing other things. Actually, in Brazil, the sisters have a hospital.
Wow.
So that's a rather unusual kind of thing, but
yeah.
Education. And the community started in Germany in the mid-1800s and came over to this country probably in about the 1850s.
Wow. Okay.
And so...
Wow, it's been around for a while.
It's been around for a while.
Yeah, although I guess
we've been in Minnesota since the 1850s, actually.
Really? Oh, yeah. Okay.
It came to Mankato.
Oh, yeah, Mankato.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right.
Nice. Well, wonderful. And it's thank you for your service in the order. How long have you
thank
been
you.
With the order?
Over 50 years.
Over 50 years.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. All right, so let's talk a little bit about, it says, I have in my notes here that you experienced the Charismatic Renewal since 1968, which is a little while. So tell us a little bit about how you first came into contact with the Charismatic Renewal.
Okay, well, like there wasn't a Charismatic Renewal that anybody talked about. Okay.
Okay.
So actually, when I was a novitiate already, I found myself really praying a lot to the Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, every morning. For quite a while I would do that, and I had no idea whatever was going to happen with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then... maybe around 66, 67, someplace in there, a priest gave retreats, talked about the Holy Spirit, talked about hearing about people who spoke in tongues, but it wasn't anything, they were talking about Catholic.
Yeah.
But because as a sixth grader, when I was confirmed, they said, well, you know, speaking in tongues, now that was for the early church, but not for today, because that's the way they used to teach.
Hmm.
As a sixth grader, I said, that didn't make any sense to me. If they needed it then, we must need it now.
No.
But of course, you couldn't talk to anybody about that, but, you know.
Okay.
So when he talked about it, like, I was ready to hear.
Yeah.
I was ready to hear about it. And then went and asked some questions. And there was a book called They Speak with Other Tongues. I took that along with me my last year of college. And sometimes I try to talk with my friends about it, but they thought I was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then this experience happened in, not really in Duquesne. They talk about the Duquesne weekend in 1967, February 17, 1967. Actually, it was at a retreat center called the Ark and the Dove, which is north of Pittsburgh, just outside of Gibsonia. And a group was on retreat there, and they were praying for the Spirit to come. They had no idea what was going to happen, but the Spirit fell on a number of the people that were present there. Not everybody had this experience for some reason, but maybe some were more open to whatever God would do. And then as college students, they began to talk about it. They began to talk to their friends. So then it was kind of gradually spreading, you know, spreading in that way. And then as people were traveling from country to country, because maybe there were students over here from other countries or whatever, you know, it just has spread throughout the world, really, now.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And right now, in fact,
yeah.
Right now, in fact, there are, well, I wouldn't know, maybe a half a million of the Pope's most personal friends who are, because we all think he's our friend.
I was going to say, I think he has over 1 billion now is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So anyway, they're over in Rome right now to celebrate on Pentecost evening, so whatever time that ends up being over in Rome, they will be having a huge Pentecost experience at a plaza. It's like maybe St. Callista or something like this. I'm not sure what it is. But anyway, I've been seeing on Facebook from some of my acquaintances video of what's going on. I mean, they've been having prayer meetings already. It seems like it kind of started already with the Pope's audience on Wednesday a little bit. And then there's going to be workshops and a lot of things, but the Pope will spend time with them. And actually, it's going to be on EWTN.
Oh, really?
So anybody that has access to that can probably figure out Pentecost in Rome, or the Golden Jubilee of the Charismatic Renewal. We're celebrating 50 years of Charismatic Renewal this year.
Yeah.
A group was able to go to the Ark and the Dove. The Renewal has been able to purchase this retreat center now, the Ark and the Dove. It went up for sale a couple of years ago. So with a lot of help, and they have an international board.
Because you said this retreat happened in 1967.
It happened in 1967, and this is 2017. So this is the Golden Jubilee celebration. And it's being celebrated in a lot of ways. There'll be a national conference in the United States in July, and Jessica will tell about how we're going to celebrate in the Archdiocese in October.
Right. All right. Okay. We'll get to that. Yep. That's coming up. So tell me a little bit more about you mentioned how you first got involved. How has your continued involvement been with the Charismatic Renewal
So I was eventually, I found out there were prayer meetings. I didn't even know there were prayer meetings. I didn't know. There was no Life in the Spirit seminars. When I first heard about them, I thought, why do we need those? You just share with people, and then you ask them if they want you to pray with them, and then you pray with them, and then they're baptized in the Spirit. It was just a very gradual kind of moving into this and finally having prayer meetings, starting prayer meetings where I was at the time, which was in Buffalo, Minnesota. And there was a prayer meeting already happening in Minneapolis by that time.
Okay.
A large group of people there were a few hundred people gathering every week.
What year is this roughly?
That's roughly early 70s.
Okay.
It might have been late 60,
okay.
early 70.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
And so for a long time, there was like one big prayer meeting. And then gradually people started doing more right in their parishes. And so the big prayer meeting all the time wasn't there. But it was the smaller groups. There's been a group in Mankato that's been there since probably late 60, early 70, because it started right after I left there, because that's where I was when I had my experience.
Okay.
And then there were national conferences that happened. I mean, like, the first time I was able to go to a national conference, it was one where there were about 4,000 at Notre Dame University. And then the largest one I was ever at, there was like around 30,000. We were in the football stadium. You know, I can remember it raining, and we've got umbrellas up because we're outside. And somebody says, could you tip your umbrella a different way, because it was running on his leg?
From just, tongues of fire to drops of rain, yes.
Lots and lots and lots of experiences. But I think that there are some main experiences people have when they receive the Holy Spirit in such a powerful way as through the baptism of the Spirit. And people just have a hunger for Scripture.
Okay.
I mean, like, to just read and read and read and read. And what I started out kind of like, I was looking for everything I could find about the Father, everything I could find about the Holy Spirit, because we always knew Jesus was there right up front and personal, you know, in the Gospels. People have a great desire to pray. And I remember even more in those early days, people you didn't even know, but you knew they had the experience. Like, everybody was hugging everybody. Everybody was excited. And I don't know. I mean, I think the excitement is still there, but maybe it's a little different. Now, things are happening, though, around the country, even in our own country today. You know, people kind of would kind of tend to think, oh, things are kind of quieting down or something. But I've heard in Pennsylvania, where they had Life in the Spirit Seminar, which is a process for helping people come into this experience, they had so many people show up for Life in the Spirit Seminar that they were calling people around in the area that they knew to come and help them pray with the people.
Wow.
I've had, and this is in our spring issue of Pentecost Today, which is a national magazine.
Yeah.
A priest from out in Bryantown, Maryland, they decided to do Life in the Spirit Seminar. Now, they used a different program. They used something out of the UK, but they had over 200 people baptized in the Spirit. And this had just happened like a few weeks ago. So the Spirit is still well and alive and in a similar way, even though it happens in different ways for different people. Mm-hmm. Yes, so we have a national magazine through the National Service Committee called Pentecost Today.
Which you are actually the editor of.
Yeah, actually I am the editor. I was invited to be the editor. When I was on the National Service Committee myself, I was part of the editorial board, and then I became chairperson of that particular board for several years. And then I was off of the NSC for a couple of years, and the person who had been the editor retired, and they approached me and asked me if I would like to be the editor. So that's how that happened.
You said,
I didn't compete for it. I said, yeah, I just have to check and see if it's okay.
Right. Yes. Okay. Right. So we're speaking with Sister Marianne Schenzer about her experience of the Charismatic Renewal and also as being editor of the magazine Pentecost Today. So, Sister, what is actually included in the magazine of Pentecost Today? What could one expect to find when they open up the pages?
Okay, well, there are a number of articles. In the last recent years, we've been doing a build-up toward the Jubilee.
Okay.
And just recently, during the time of the Jubilee, we had a special Golden Jubilee issue, which is available if you go to www.nsc-charisenter, that's charisenter.org, and there you can look for Pentecost Today, and then there's a way to look at past issues that are archived, or there's a way to make a request to get a paper issue, because we do the paper issue of the magazine.
I think
which
that's
is
a good
wonderful
thing. Yes.
I like to read it in paper.
Right.
And even after, a lot of times, even after reading the articles so many times for doing editing, I'm still glad to see it. We have a production manager who is out in the state of Washington, and I always say she dresses it up.
Yeah.
So we work together. So actually, our editorial board is, out east in Virginia and Pennsylvania. And our production manager and printers are out west.
Out west. And here you are, the editor in the Midwest. Yeah. Okay.
So we're doing it through all the modern media. We try to have witness stories in there.
Sure.
We try to have something about what is currently going on.
Sure.
So like our next issue, somebody will be writing about their experience in Rome. Somebody else will be writing about the experience of our national conference.
Mm-hmm.
We have a young adult coordinator now, not really coordinator, but he ministers to young adults and has that kind of an outreach. We always have him do an article in here. We have the chairperson of the National Service Committee. He always has a column and he tries to do something about what's currently going on. Otherwise, we do an in-person meeting once a year where we try to plan out for a whole year. So it's pretty well planned ahead of time.
Yeah. You have to do that kind of thing.
It's a lot of work. Yeah.
The magazine is Pentecost Today. And do you want to give us that website one more time?
Sure. So it's www.nsc, for National Service Committee, dash, charisenter, charisenter.org.
And there you can find past issues of Pentecost Today, how to sign up for a subscription and such.
Right.
So
you can read about the national conference coming up also.
Right.
In July.
Yeah. It's coming up in July. Right. Yeah. No, we'll hit on that as well. So, Sister, just in our closing couple minutes here together with you, how would you encourage Catholics, encourage our listeners to encounter the Holy Spirit today? What's some practical things that we can do to more fully and deeply and richly encounter the Holy Spirit?
Well, for sure we can have a desire and pray, even open our hearts up to the experience. Sometimes people will say, I don't need that, or that's not for me, or that's not my way. And I'm kind of like, so I'm very careful not to push. But the other side of it is, you know, we need the full experience of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And we can all use the full experience of the Holy Spirit. And so we can just open ourselves up to whatever gifts the Spirit wants to give us. I mean, somebody will say, well, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. But, well, I don't want the gift of tongues, or I don't want this. And I'm like, okay, well, then if I'm really open, can I just be open? Mm. And then allow the Spirit to work through us.
Yeah,
and
to move as he will.
And, and Jessica's going to talk about the local renewal a little bit.
Yeah.
And she will give you then a way to connect and find out how within our area people could connect up with various groups or individuals to learn more about this renewal.
That's a great encouragement as well. And we'll turn to Jessica in just a moment. You know, when you were saying be open and to all that the Holy Spirit wants to bring in terms of life, the line from St. Irenaeus came into my head, that the glory of God is a human being fully alive. And that doesn't happen without the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, in order to be fully alive, we need to have the Holy Spirit within us. Sister Mary Ann Schenzer, yes, from School Sisters of Notre Dame and representing as editor of Pentecost Today and your experience with the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. Thank you so much for being on the show this morning. It's been great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we are going to come back in just a moment and speak a little bit more, as Sister said, with Jessica Balzerini, who's the current president and chair of the board of the Renewal here in the Twin Cities. Stay with us. Rediscover.
If you haven't taken the time to tour our cathedral in St. Paul, you've missed a real treasure of nearby history. Catholic United Financial and Relevant Radio invite you to attend a special free event and tour of the St. Paul Cathedral Wednesday morning, June 21st. Join our group for a behind-the-scenes tour of the glory, splendor, and mysteries of the Cathedral on the Hill in St. Paul. This event will also bring you the latest information on saving successfully for retirement, estate planning, and charitable giving, presented by John Tetzloff, Advanced Case Specialist with Catholic United Financial. The event is free with lunch included and a fully narrated tour filled with history and the beauty of our cathedral. Reserve up to 4 free tickets now for our seminar and tour Wednesday, June 21st, 612-643-4121. No products or services will be sold. There is no obligation, just an opportunity to learn and be surrounded by the faith-filled stories inside the walls of the Cathedral of St. Paul with Relevant Radio and Catholic United Financial, 612-643-4121.
By my side to be everything I'm not. Angel side, I breathe deep the breath of God. I cannot find another sky.
Right there, speaking about the breath of God. Makes sense, doesn't it? Pentecost weekend. Glad to be with you. Patrick Conley together with our producer, Susanna Boley, and our technical producer, Paul Sadek, here at the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. As I said, we are talking about Pentecost on this great Pentecost weekend. Thank you for joining us this weekend. Joining me now in studio is Jessica Balzerini, who's the current chair of the board of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. You, Jessica, have been in church ministry, I have, for 14 years, and you're currently working at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton as Director of Discipleship and Mission. And you and your husband, Mark, are members of the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake. Have I got all that right?
Yes, you do.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Welcome to the program, Jessica. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Patrick. I'm really glad to be here.
Good, good. Well, so tell us a little bit about your own experience and how you came to encounter the Charismatic Renewal.
I think it's twofold. I think the first time I can look back and say, hey, I experienced the Holy Spirit in a profound way was actually at World Youth Day in Denver, Colorado, when I was 15.
Wow.
Because it was the first time when I think the Holy Spirit was really poured down into my heart and I understood that God was real, He was personal, He loved me, and what the church taught was true. So I was given that gift of faith, and a gift of faith that friends in high school didn't understand. They didn't get how or why I could blindly believe, because I just knew somewhere inside it was true. And then I think for me, coming into an understanding of the renewal is I went to Franciscan University for college. And so I had 4 years of formation. And I think between 96 and 2000 was when I was there. And there was just a culture on campus that I think is a fruit of the renewal. But I actually still didn't know about it or didn't understand how that affected what I experienced there.
Okay.
But it was there where, again, baptism in the Spirit happened, and I was really able to develop a relationship with the third person of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was just presented as part of my Catholic faith. And if I was going to have a relationship with God, I had a responsibility to cultivate a relationship with each person of the Trinity. And then it was laid out very clearly with mentors of faith, professors, classes I had, brothers and sisters of faith that just kind of mentored me kind of by osmosis even sometimes, but even more intentionally. But it was really just, here he is in scripture. This is how he works. This is how he's guided and worked in the church. And now be open to him in your own personal life.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no expectation of what that would look like,
mm-hmm.
but to not limit reception of or an awakening of those gifts and the way that he was going to move and help me discern and be able to minister to the people of God around me in my life and now in my job, in my ministry.
Right.
And so for me, again, it was just part of everything I was offered in the fullness of the Catholic faith when I was in college. And so it was a great gift. I came to understand years later when I was working in ministry and I had a few mentors in, hey, we're going to pray with the teens for confirmation. Let's pray that they be open to the Holy Spirit in that sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I started to learn some of the history and the roots in which there was this unique outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the United States 50 mm-hmm. years ago. And what did that mean as we went forward in what I think is sort of the new evangelization, the new Pentecost, the new beginning that JP2 always talked about. And so now we're starting to see some of that fruit, I think.
Yeah.
And so again, for me, it hasn't been until more recently understanding that I benefited from and I'm a fruit of what began a long time ago.
Yeah.
And even more so than that, what happened on Pentecost, way back in the beginning, of course. But
right.
just that, yeah, I was just given the fruit of that gift.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing. So you and Sister have both talked about baptism in the Holy Spirit. You want to mm-hmm. kind of define that a little bit more? So sure. for those who might not know what that means.
Absolutely. People who work in ministry with me, the Holy Spirit is one of my favorite topics. and so baptism in the Spirit, the word baptism itself means immersion. And so when we look at baptism in the Spirit, it's not a sacrament, but the word is used to help us understand how our life needs to be immersed in the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And sometimes when we come to our sacramental graces, we're infants or we're in high school, and we're not as open as we can be when we are full-fledged adults.
Yeah.
And so there's this opportunity to have people come together and pray for baptism in the Spirit in my life so that I can enliven, unlock, stir up the Holy Spirit in my life that I've already received in baptism and confirmation.
Right.
And so it's not that we necessarily receive the Holy Spirit completely new, although with him, he makes all things new.
Amen.
Every time he comes.
Yep.
But it's really just an awakening of those sacramental graces, that sanctifying grace, the person of the Holy Spirit, so that those gifts are manifested in our life so we can go forth and minister to one another in the church.
Mm.
And then to minister to one another in the world and help them come to encounter Christ and the Holy Spirit and God the Father in the same way that we have. And so that baptism is really just an opportunity to pray in an intentional way for the Holy Spirit to be immersed in who we are so that we can live that life to the full and draw others back to the Father.
Hmm. Is there anything to be scared of in this, process?
I think... there's not anything to be scared of, but I think if we look at the apostles at Pentecost,
mm-hmm.
and they were in that upper room, and mm-hmm. I think they went from a place of fear
yeah.
to a place of encounter with the Lord in a profound way, And then they were given that gift of courage, that gift of the Holy Spirit, to then have that courage to walk out with confidence and preach the gospel.
Right, because then they were found just immediately afterwards. They're in the temple courts proclaiming the resurrected Lord.
Absolutely, right. Absolutely. And I think there can be a fear because it's a fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't necessarily seen this particular gift manifested in my life. What does that mean? What does it look like?
Right.
I think for me, sometimes I struggle with the fear of... am I worthy enough to receive it? Am I going to use that gift prudently? And so I think those are all very natural human things that we go through. And yet it's in the Holy Spirit that if we have encountered the saving message of the gospel and we have repented of our sin and we have surrendered our life to Jesus Christ, that we can trust him at his word when he says, I will give you power to go out and do my will.
Right.
And so in essence, yes, there's a natural tendency to fear the unknown.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit sometimes can call us to the unexpected. And so that can be a fear of the future. But really, if we take Christ at his word, we can trust that we're going to receive him. And he's going to be a generous God who just wants what's best for us and what's best for our salvation while drawing other people to salvation as well.
Right, right. So what's going through my mind when you say that, the potential fear about what might lie in store when we say yes to the Holy Spirit, I mean, I think that there's a human part of us that might... might be a little worried about where God might lead. And especially when we know that when the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples, you will be my witnesses, Jesus says. Well, guess what? That witness, that word witness, is the same as you will be my martyrs. You will be, and as the church currently understands the word, that the pinnacle of martyrdom, or excuse me, of witness, is giving of one's life, of shedding one's blood for the sake of the gospel. And yeah, that might be a little disconcerting, but just like you said, Jessica, I love the way you put it, that's what is best for us and most honoring to God and can bring us into the fullness of life. That if we are trusting fully in the Lord and the work of the Holy Spirit within us, that's not something to be afraid of. It's almost something to be desired, right? I think we have numerous stories of saints who actually desired that. I'm thinking of St. Ignatius of Antioch as he was headed off to martyrdom, and he knew that's where he was headed. But at the same time, he's saying, don't interfere, you know, don't screw this up for me, basically, is what he was saying. All right. So that I don't need to pontificate anymore on that, I don't think. So that's a great explanation of baptism in the Holy Spirit, just being open to, praying for, allowing the Holy Spirit to saturate our lives, to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. So let's turn our attention a little bit more to the Charismatic Renewal Office here locally. So what are some of the things that you do as part of the ministries? What are the ministries of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office?
Yep, our mission is really to help in any way that we can for people to enter into that life-changing relationship with Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so really the office, I think, has become a hub of communication for opportunities for those encounters. And any way that we can communicate and help support that within the diocese is really the core mission of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal Office here in the Twin Cities. And then it's a place of communication, so really we advertise healing masses that maybe our office isn't directly connected in coordinating, but it's a place where people can be, encounter the Lord in a profound way, be given freedom so that they can live in those gifts and minister to the church. And so, again, there are healing masses that are local. There's also local prayer groups that we advertise for. There's a kind of a stirring up of the Holy Spirit in the Rochester area. They're going to be doing a conference too coming up. So there's just this kind of network of communicating what currently, when are the Life and the Spirit seminars being offered around the diocese? How can people get connected to it if they want to? So that's one piece. And then really our office tries to coordinate two conferences a year.
Okay.
Usually it's a summer conference where we bring in, or we attempt to bring in, a larger speaker.
Yep.
And it's sort of a typical conference weekend. It's got a theme, and it's really to help people encounter the Lord and then be equipped to go out.
Okay.
And then in January, we tend to do what we call a teaching conference. And so it's more of opening and closing maybe main talks, and then there's a set of breakout workshops that are very practical, whether it's practical in my own, you know, journey of holiness, or really practical if I'm going to be in a life with the Holy Spirit, how do I then do that within the church? Mm. How do I maybe use the gift of prophecy? Mm. What is that, and how do I stir it up within me, and then how do I use it well? How do okay. I discern it well? This last year it was on forgiveness and freedom, and so there was a whole lot around the sacrament of confession and testimony to that. There's always an opportunity to be baptized in the Spirit. And I'm always surprised. It's been around for so long, and the room is always full.
Yeah.
And so those are kind of two bookends to our year. And then throughout the year, we attempt to do Charismatic Mass, where we bring together everybody from around the diocese in the fall and for Pentecost. Okay. And actually, we have our Pentecost Mass tomorrow night.
I was going to say, it must be coming up.
Yes.
Right. So this is just in case somebody's listening to the rebroadcast. When you say tomorrow night, you mean yes. Saturday night.
Saturday yes, night.
Right. Okay.
And if you didn't realize, which I didn't realize till recently, the readings for Pentecost Vigil Mass, which is always Saturday evening.
Yeah, it's different.
Those readings are different.
Yeah.
And so this year we're doing a Vigil Mass with Archbishop Hebda at St.
Nice.
Charles Borromeo.
Okay.
And so that's one of the charismatic masses that we do. So you'll find the spontaneous praise. You'll find the praise and worship style music and words of knowledge that are offered throughout the mass. And then we also do another one in the fall.
Okay.
And try and do sort of a Thanksgiving mass sometime in November.
Okay.
And then recently we kind of have in the last couple of years been doing a monthly workshop on a particular gift of the Holy Spirit and a more practical workshop in, hey, let's learn about what this is. Let's pray for it to be stirred up, and then maybe a practical way of practicing how to use it.
Interesting.
And so we've been doing that this last year into this year, and it'll go into the next year as well.
Okay. Give me an example of what one of these gifts might be that you're talking about.
Yep. So most recently, we did one on the gift of hospitality.
Nice.
And how that's connected to really the virtue of love and how right. we care for others. And so there was an element of, again, praise and worship, time to pray. So that's my favorite part. And then my second favorite part is learning a little bit about how does that gift work? How can it work in the community? How has the speaker seen it work in their life? And then an opportunity to talk about or deal with how can I now apply that in my life? How could I better use that gift if God's calling me to do that?
Are there any refreshments offered at these?
Absolutely. Coffee. It's 9 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
That would be my favorite part right there. No, I'm just kidding. Coffee is a gift from the Lord.
Yes,
not
it is.
As a profound a gift as the Holy Spirit, but coffee is a gift. Right. All right. So let's go back to that. I want to hit that Pentecost Mass again,
okay.
Just because in case people are listening this morning, Friday morning, what time is it on Saturday night?
It'll be 7 p.m. St. Charles Borromeo in St. Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll start with praise and worship at 6:30, okay. And Mass will begin at 7.
Okay. So I hate to say this in case anybody's listening to the rebroadcast on Saturday at 6, but turn it off right now and get over there. Right?
Yes.
Over there and get to Mass. Right. Okay. Wonderful. So that's coming up Saturday night. And that's, again, St. Charles Borromeo. With Archbishop Hebda. Okay. And then I also have notes here that you have a Jubilee celebration conference coming up.
We do. So our local CCRO office is doing a Jubilee conference. And we're doing it in October. We usually do a summer conference in August.
Right,
and we're going to move it to October.
Okay.
And it'll be October 20th and 21st.
Okay.
And the title is The Splendor of Fire Tried Gold, Celebrating 50 Years of the Holy Spirit here locally in Minnesota. And it'll be at Trinity School in Eagan.
Okay.
And we're bringing in Father Bob Hogan and Sister Bernadette, who is part of the Order of the Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And one of their charisms is actually to promote and do Life in the Spirit retreats and seminars. That's part of their charism. So they're going to come talk too over that weekend.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. October 20th and 21st, you said.
Yes. Yes.
All right. And so if somebody wants to find out more about either the Pentecost Mass on Saturday night or the Jubilee celebration here locally in October, or just the charismatic renewal in general, where should we go, Jessica?
Yep, you can head to our website, which is ccro-msp.org.
That's ccro-msp.org. And that has everything we will want to know about the Catholic Charismatic Renewal here locally, yeah?
Absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. So one final question to you too, Jessica. Same thing that I asked Sister. So how would you encourage Catholics to encounter the Holy Spirit today? What are some of the practical things that we can do?
Well, I think reaching out to our local office is a good way, starting to get involved in the events that we are connected to and promoting in our office. But I think, too, again, because I came to it in such a natural Catholic way, it wasn't a separate movement. It wasn't anything different than, you know, growing in a devotion to the Eucharist, that really, if we come before the Lord and we repent of our sin, repent of all of the wounds caused by sin, and then we surrender our whole and entire life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we say, yes, come Holy Spirit, come, and we pray that, whether it be every day or once, the Holy Spirit will come and he'll start to move. And I've already seen that in our own parish, having done some preparation for Pentecost. Just praying that simple prayer, people are seeing the Holy Spirit work in a way that they've never experienced before. And so it really is that simple.
Amen. Jessica Balzerini, up at St. John the Baptist in New Brighton. It's great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
All right, so we are going to take our final break right now. And when we come back, we've got other community events that you can take part in and draw closer to the Lord and the Holy Spirit. So stay with us.
Backed by your prayers and your generosity, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
When you think about the amazing work that Relevant Radio does, to me, that's an organization that you really, really should seriously think about supporting.
Relevant Radio contributor, Professor Harry Kramer, Kellogg School of Management, Northwestern University.
It's one thing to say, hey, I'm in my car, and, you know, hey, I think I'm going to listen to Relevant Radio. But I don't think people stop and think, well, what are the costs of being able to do that? And if we're going to spread the word and we want to end up increasing the amount of listeners and you want to buy more radio stations, where does all this come from? How do we spread the word of Christ? Those of us that are blessed, that have some excess, and not people that are necessarily wealthy, can make a difference.
Our need is ongoing. Please call now with your tax-deductible donation. 1-877-291-0123 or donate online at relevantradio.com.
Glory be to the Father.
Glory, glory.
His glory give praise.
Glory, glory.
To the Son, our Redeemer.
Glory, glory.
Life and truth and the way.
Happy Pentecost, Paul.
Thank you.
You got any plans for the weekend?
Going to Pentecost Mass, of course.
That's a good thing to do.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
We've got other things that we can do, too.
Tons of things. Be part of the new evangelization in our archdiocese by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Sign up to join in the mission by sending the text message PROCLAIMING to 84576 or go to rediscover-faith.org and sign up for evangelization updates.
Grandparents are invited to the Learning Technology to Connect with Grandchildren workshop hosted by the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis. This workshop will be held on Wednesday, June 14th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis Chancery in St. Paul. Join us to learn how you can keep in touch with your grandchildren by texting, FaceTime, Skype, and more. Please bring your cell phone, your tablet, or any other form of technology that you want to learn how to use with FaceTime or Skype. A free will offering will be accepted. To register, please visit the events page on CatholicGrandparenting.com.
Learn about FEM, Fertility Education and Medical Management, the women's health program that revolutionizes how we talk about women's health and the way doctors and patients approach wellness. This education event is on Thursday, June 15th, 7 p.m., It's being offered for the first time in our archdiocese. It's for NFP providers, people who work at crisis pregnancy centers, and anyone interested in women's health. This program will be held at the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis Chancery in St. Paul. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org or contact Nancy Schulte, 651-291-4489. This event is sponsored through the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life.
This year marks the 7th annual Widow's Day of Reflection on Saturday, June 17th from 8:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. at Our Lady of Grace in Edina. Each year, this day of reflection is offered to widows for spiritual enrichment and fellowship. Speakers at this day of reflection include Bishop Andrew Cousins and Michelle Denise Michaels. Bishop Cousins will speak on growing in faith through prayer and saying yes through Mary. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org or visit olgparish.org.
And Relevant Radio listeners are invited to the Cathedral of St. Paul for a special guided behind-the-scenes tour on Wednesday, June 21st. Do we get to see your office?
Believe me, you don't want to see my office.
The lunch and special presentation will be included. It's free, courtesy of Catholic United Financial, but you must RSVP. Call 612-643-4121 to reserve a spot for you and family and friends. That number again, 612-643-4121.
Yeah, got it?
I got it.
Okay.
What's up next week?
Next week.
Nobody told me, so I have to find out.
That's right. Well, it's a surprise that I shall now reveal. Another way that the Holy Spirit reveals the life of God in a very unique way.
He's full of surprises.
He is. We're going to talk about prison ministry.
Oh, yes.
We're going to hear from Joan Moses, who for over 55 years has been writing poetry and has extended this gift in her volunteer work, which includes facilitating personal writing classes in a women's prison. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
That's just amazing. She will share about her book, Breaking the Cycle, which is a collection of raw and real writings by women prisoners now living in a reentry center. We'll also hear from volunteers who are involved in prison ministries throughout the Twin Cities area and share with you how you can get involved too. That's what's coming up next week. It sounds really exciting to me.
I'll be here.
All right. I will too. Looking forward to it. In the meantime, friends, celebrate Pentecost, receive the Holy Spirit, go to church, and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.